Hi, it's Sean D'Souza, and what you're listening to is a series called 22 Minutes with Sean. But what we're going to explore in this series is a whole bunch of questions that members at 5000 BC ask. We'll look at how these questions can be answered in a very short period of time so that you can move ahead. So here we go, 22 Minutes with Sean.
Hi, this is Rev Vaughn, and I help entrepreneurs achieve their most important business goals. I'm talking with Sean D'Souza, and we're going to find out how Sean designs, outlines, and creates his podcasts. Let's go. So let's start there, Sean. So we know from your podcast, you know, being a longtime listener to your podcast, we can condense some of the things that you do. So we know that you usually have three topics. We know from your podcast how you outline your articles, and we know a little bit about how you use Evernote. So some of those things we can condense, but I guess that's a good place to start out with is from a high level, what's your thought process when you're putting together a podcast?
So when I'm putting together a podcast, I'm usually thinking of just one idea. So I'm thinking of, say, efficiency or speed, or I'm just thinking of a single idea. And the way I go about it is I would either decide, today I want to talk about starting an idea or how to validate an idea. A lot of the questions come in 5000 BC itself, but also an email, also while reading books and stuff. You'll see a chapter and you go, I could write a chapter. I could do a podcast on that one topic. So that's one of my starting points. Someone asking a question or something jumping out at me and go, okay, that's it. And then I will find stories that match. Actually, I don't match any stories. I just take a random story and force fit it. And there is a technique for that. So that's what I do. I'll start with the idea, which will be validate an idea, for instance, and then I will fit a story to it. The reason why I bring up stories is sometimes the story is so interesting. So I might find a story on, say, Srinivas Ramanujan and how he was this genius in mathematics. And I want to tell that story. So now I have to find something in that story that then becomes the podcast. And maybe the entire story is about persistence. Maybe, you know, the three levels of persistence or something like that. That's usually how I start. I will start with either the idea, which I then fit a story, or I find the story, which then I create an idea from.
That's really interesting. So are you mapping out in advance what your episodes are? So you have these ideas from the forum or from some article you read or some book you read, and then you put it on an editorial calendar? Or are you just starting the week off and say, I've got this idea, I want to do a podcast about it? You know, how far out in advance are you planning your podcast?
I have an editorial calendar. I don't follow it.
Okay.
It's up on my wall. There are post-its stuck on the wall. I have a post-it software that allows me to move stuff around. I have all the gizmos. You know, my wife, Renuka, was asking me the other day, are you going to remove those post-its from the wall? Because we're usually just like one, not even one podcast ahead. So the next podcast appears on Saturday, and I still haven't recorded it.
Mm-hmm.
However, I like to be at least three or four in advance. And there are times when I will get to three or four in advance. And the reason for that is that if I don't do that, then it's the only thing I can think about at breakfast, lunch, dinner. It drives me completely crazy. It saps my energy, and I know I need all the energy I have. So from that perspective, I like it to be in advance.
Yeah. So is it stressful when you're only a week out, or is it kind of like fun, like, oh, I get to kind of improvise and put this together under the stress and pressure of a deadline, or is it more like something that looms over you and, you know, oh my God, I've got to get this done? Which do you think is more the case for you?
Definitely looming, because it's, you know, the script has to be written. It has to be then put into Microsoft Word. It then has to be put into a prompt software, into software which I use, which, you know, scrolls, and then I read off it. It has to be then cleaned up for noise. It goes through this whole production process. It then goes for music. It has to be uploaded. It has to be so there are like 6-8 steps that have to be done. And if I'm not 2 or 3 or 4 weeks in advance, which I would like to be, then if there is a crisis in the middle of the week, then I've had it. I'm just hoping that nothing shows up, right? But that's not a good way to go.
Right. Mm-hmm. One of the things I like best about your podcast is the way that you lay down the tracks and, you know, and put the tracks in to set the mood and to shift and to build tension and release tension. It's really fascinating how you do that. Do you use another podcast out there as kind of your inspiration for doing that? Or is this something that you figured out on your own? How do you go about choosing the music for your podcast? And when do you put these transitions in? I find it very fascinating how you do that.
In the article writing course, I talk about just hitting enter after a certain amount of time. And in podcasting, technically, you can do the same. You can change the tempo. You can change whatever based on randomness, or you can be very specific. So just in the same way as writing an article, you suddenly decide that, you know, you were cycling up the hill and everything was fine, and then there was this guy who came around the corner. Now, you know that the guy is coming around the corner. So what the movies do is they tell you that the guy is coming around the corner by changing the tone. And if you change the tone just before, then people know that something bad is going to happen. Something good is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just the mode or the mood. You know, sometimes, you know, you say you're in, sometimes this is really bizarre because, you know, when you go to countries like Scandinavia, you can't play Scandinavian music. Well, not many people would know that. But, you know, you go to India and you start playing the sitar, and Africa, you start playing something African. It's very cliche, but it's still better than just some random music thrown in. So I don't listen to a specific thing that, you know, a specific podcast. See, if you're paying attention to the music in the podcast, you're probably listening to it for the second or third time because you're listening for the music and not for the podcast. And if that is if you're listening to somebody else. And so you've got to make sure that you listen to a lot of stuff. And I listen to like 6-8 different podcasts. And I can tell you the ones that have a good production value because they're careful about these things. And that's what we've tried to do as well. We've tried to make sure that you know what's going to happen next, or the music kind of sets the mood, or it takes you by surprise. But I don't think there is a specific thing, but setting the mood is definitely a good way to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great, especially the idea of taking something from a movie, or even if you watch dramas and stuff, they do that really well. I think you do that really well as well. And it really helps advance.
Well, there is software. There is software. So the software I use, which is SoundSmart, you can segregate the music by mood. You can segregate it by tempo. You can say there are several ways to segregate the music. And so if you want to say, well, this is troublesome, you can just type in the word troublesome and it'll throw up something, or danger, and it'll throw up at least 10 tracks, and then you go, okay, I prefer this track over that track.
Yes, I use that software as well. So I've used that for, I don't know, 5 years or so. And it's what a lot of the drama makers, the big filmmakers, they'll go in there and they'll get it because the music is really high quality. So One question I had, if I can just circle back, is where you get your ideas from. And it seems like, based on your answer before, you're not repurposing articles or special reports, but it comes from form answers and books you might be reading. But are you repurposing your existing content? And if so, to what extent does that play into how you choose your podcast
when
topics?
When I started the podcast, I would just speak just like we're speaking right now. There would be no script. There would be nothing. I did 70 podcasts that way. But the problem with that was that it would go for a transcript, and the transcript wasn't always very accurate because people, you know, that's how they operate. Maybe if I paid twice as much, I would get a better, more meticulous transcript. But so often we couldn't use the transcript other than just as a transcript, you know, just and when you speak to a person in a cafe or on a call like this, it's disjointed. It sounds fine. It sounds cohesive when we're speaking. But when you read it, it's all disjointed. And so after 70 episodes, right, I decided a lot of this stuff could then go into reports. A lot of this could go into so many different things. You know, like if you took 10 of the podcasts on pricing, it could be a little booklet or a book. I started scripting, and what I found was that it was far less frustrating because it was less tiring. Before, I would keep trying to figure out what I'm going to say next, and it was very tiring after the podcast. So that was the first stage, and then I realized that, okay, we can put this in like a vanishing report with cartoons and stuff like that for 5000 BC, and it's really valued. And you say, well, you already have the text. You already have the podcast. So why would they find it valuable? But I find it valuable, and clients find it valuable, so it's valuable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've noticed that myself, that sometimes the vanishing reports line up very closely with some of your podcasts, and so I have noticed that. But I didn't know which came first, the report or the podcast.
The podcast would definitely come first. But even the sequence, so for instance, if you took 10 pricing articles and put them together, 10 pricing podcasts and put them together in a book, the fact that they are now not, you know, it's not just one pricing, second one on success, third one on something, and then I have to go looking for everything. But the fact that it's all in a book, that there are cartoons in the book, that there is some kind of cohesion in the book, that alone, whether it would be an audiobook with 10 pricing articles or 10 pricing podcasts or in a vanishing report with 10 of them, that alone is valuable to a client.
Mm-hmm. I think so. And when you're when you're putting together your podcast, do you do it similar to how you do your articles, where you might choose a topic on one day, outline, and then draft it and then edit it, etc.? Or are you lumping these together? Are you just waking up and strolling down, turning on your mic, and how are you putting them together? Is it very close to how you do your articles, or is it a separate process?
Are you talking about the podcast? How do I put the podcast? It's the same way. I will do them in batches. So for instance, today I will start to write a series on kind of creative destruction or paradox thinking. Mm-hmm. And so I'll write one portion of it in 5000 BC. Tomorrow I'll write the second one. The day after I'll write the third one. And so then the fourth day I'll write the summary. Then I'll edit it. And I've still not started recording the podcast, but I'm recording what I wrote last week. So at 5:30 this evening, maybe I'll record what I wrote last week. And then tomorrow I'll do the editing. It sounds all mishmash kind of, but there's a definite logic to it, and that is that I'm not trying to go from start to finish. I'm just doing a little bit. I have enough energy, and then I go and do something else, and I have energy for that. If I go from start to finish, it's always worse than if I just do that in little bits.
Yeah, I really like those podcasts about saving your energy when you're writing, and I figured you would be doing the podcast the same way, because it can be exhausting if you have to write it, record it, and edit it all in the same go. That's pretty exhausting. So I like the way you put those together. Is there anything else that you do that is kind of your secret sauce that you'd be willing to share when you're working on these podcasts?
Oh, that's a wide open question.
Well, what would be the most important thing that you do that, you know, we haven't covered so far?
I have figured out that volume really helps, that having to write, having to create on a regular basis is what has improved more than anything else. So I've been talking about this recently, but a lot of people put a lot of benchmarks into success. But the real ratio of success to failure is probably 1:5 or 1:10. When you consider, you know, okay, I have done a really good job. This morning I was listening to last week's podcast and I thought, now that is good. I recorded that at 5:30 in the evening instead of 4 in the morning, and it sounds so much better. Now, why should it be? Because at 5:30, the sun is beating down on my office window. It's boiling hot here. I'm trying to just finish the podcast, but there is more life in me than at 4 in the morning, even though I'm more awake at 4 in the morning, and 5:30 is I've been through like 12 hours. So the thing is that if I don't change something, if I don't do something, if I don't have that volume, I'm never going to figure that out. And what I realized, you know, I've started to outsource, I've been outsourcing the music for at least 60 episodes, and someone else does the music, and for the first 6 episodes, he just didn't do a good job. So he would do it. He would send it across. I would redo it. So I would spend the whole 3 hours redoing it and then upload it. And people say, well, you should have given up after 4 or 5 episodes. But I paid him the entire fee for doing the job. And then eventually got it. And last time, like, you know, now I can't tell the difference between him doing the job or me doing the job.
Yeah, that's great. So you're outsourcing a portion of that. Is there anything else
in
you're outsourcing?
In the case of the podcast, no. What else do we outsource? I can't think of anything. But in the case of the podcast, this is the only thing that I'm outsourcing. What I also get him to do is to launch it or to upload it to Auphonic. And Auphonic then pushes it to Libsyn, which, of course, if you're not familiar with this, but essentially, instead of him sending it to me and me uploading it and then me putting in the text, he does all that just part of his sequence. It doesn't take him any more time. He's already there. And it saves me an enormous amount of steps that I have to think about. So I try to get rid of the steps that I don't have to do. And that I'm just looking at everything from an energy point of view. If you don't have the energy, you don't get a good job done.
That's great. I think we covered all of the questions. I just have one more that I didn't that I think would help a lot. If somebody didn't have, you know, some of the advantages you've built up over time, having an audience, having people who are in your forum, having people who bought your products and services. So for the person who's just starting out, if they were putting together a podcast, what would you recommend for them to do to promote the podcast, to build their audience? Would it? I'll just leave that open to you.
So the first thing is that you need to know that the podcast has really dramatically changed. I think this was one of your original questions, but it has changed the amount of sales. It has changed the amount of 5,000 VC members. It has done a lot of good. So I would recommend that you do it. Now, the thing that I would recommend is that people take a niche topic. If you're going to start a podcast, start up something that no one else is trying to do, because then you're able to reach out to someone and say, instead of saying, oh, I just like you to do an interview, I'm going to go, what makes great teachers, right? So I'm going to do a podcast on what makes great teachers. Now, is there a podcast out there? I don't know. But there's a very good chance that someone, when you say, I'm doing a podcast on what makes great teachers, you have this course, what makes a great teacher, they're going to respond to you, right? And they're going to then be on part of your podcast, and people are going to listen to it because they want to be great teachers, right? But if you just say, I'm just going to do an interview and I'm going to ask 6 questions, well, too bad. There are 10 million interviews out there. And so so ours is more generic, right. But we've always been in that way. But if you're starting out, go specific.
And so compared to other marketing methods that you've used, where would this one rank as far as getting new either subscribers or members for your forum or customers? Where do you think this ranks as far as the things that you
from
do?
From what we've seen, it's pretty high up there. I mean, it is probably one of the things that if I were to say to Renuka, I want to stop the podcast, she would kill me.
That would be funny because it seems like it's usually when you say you want to start something that she would kill you. But this is the one thing that if you stop doing, she would kill you. So that's pretty funny. I think that's all my questions, Sean. I think that I really enjoyed just chatting with you about how you go about putting together these podcasts. I really enjoy them. I like the way you do it. They, you know, there's not many people out there doing it the way that you do. And I think that you really stand out, you know, as you say, your podcast is unique in your market space. So really appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
All right, great. Then I'm going to sign off. This is Rev Vaughn signing off with Sean D'Souza from psychotactics.com and 5000 BC.
Cool. That was good.
All right. Great. Hey, I really appreciate it. I know you must have to run to your next one, but
no, I just got two.
Definitely.
I just have two. It's not next one. I just, yeah.
Oh, you don't have a big packed schedule today, then.
Right.
This is Monday for
but
you,
I don't,
right?
I don't do what a lot of people do, which is the back-to-back thing. It just... I can't, after an hour of doing something, I just did 22 minutes before this and now. It's just.
Right.
It's not that you can tell the difference, but I can tell the difference. And that's enough for me. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, you know, maybe you're the type of person who needs to consistently change what you're doing to keep your focus up. And some other people, they just like to do one thing and keep doing it, and that's how they get their focus. So I think maybe you're wired in the way that you need some changing stimuli to keep you interested in going.
I look at it more as energy. I mean, the car I drive, you know, the i3 is not a Tesla. A Tesla can go, you know, 300 miles. It's not a real thing. Let's put it this way. The i3, it's like an iPhone. The battery keeps draining and draining and draining. And the trick is, I've started this with the car, is to go on a trip, go to the cafe and come back, and have more battery power than when you left. Now, unless you drive an electric car, you don't know what I'm talking about. But you will in a few years, that you can actually go somewhere like 2-3 miles away and come back 3 miles and have more battery than when you started out. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for more energy at the end of the day than at the start of the day.
All right, Sean, I appreciate everything you do, and I'll talk to you inside the forum. All right, bye.